Can you talk about the significance of the reed? I read or I heard that you described the reed as the soul of the instrument.
Well, yes. Some people might not think of it in such poetic terms, but it's yes, it's a very, very important part of the instrument. And on the oboe, the reed is so tiny, you can see, as I keep saying, it's scraped down thinner than a human hair. That seems to be impressive. And that's actually true. So at the very end, we use very, very sharp tools to fashion the cane and to scrape it down. And it's
about half an inch long and about an eighth of an inch wide, is it?
It's about, we actually use metric. So a reed is usually about 70 millimeters long. Sorry, seven-tenths of a centimeter. So 70 millimeters.
And why is it important that you create your own reeds?
Because it's such a personalized thing. Everyone's embouchure, which is how you form your mouth. Everyone's way of blowing is a little bit different. The instrument's a little different. It gives you tremendous, if you're a good reed maker, it gives you tremendous control over the instrument, and you can make it into a very, very flexible instrument. You can make it be very quiet. You can make it be very loud according to the reed you fashion as the music demands it. So it's quite, when everything goes well, it's quite creative. When things don't go well, it's terribly frustrating. And all the old canards about oboes being crazy and so forth, I don't think it's from the pressure of the air on the brain. I think it's from making reeds. And they change with the weather, and they change with the temperature. And it's a very, just a very, very persnickety and finicky instrument. And potentially it can be played very beautifully, and there are great rewards, but they're not gained easily.
Do you change reeds in the middle of a concert?
Sometimes. Sometimes voluntarily, and sometimes because I have to.
Can you illustrate, like, when you put a new reed in, what do you play and what are you listening for?
Yeah, sure. Easy. This reed is pretty good, I think. We like to have a sound that we think of as being round and full and rich in overtones, but not thin. And not, on the flip side, not dull and thick and woolly. Now, that's a pretty good reed. Here's a reed that I made yesterday that I thought would be pretty good, but it turned out to be pretty bad. It has a strident sound and a sort of a in-your-face quality that is sort of obnoxious to my ears, although it might suit a certain piece of music.
Do composers use the oboe in different ways, yes. And has that changed over time?
It has. It's always been used in many different ways because the oboe is derived, au bois is the original name for the oboe. It's French. So it was, you wouldn't say it was invented in France, but it was modified in France to be something like what it is today. And they took a very loud outdoor instrument, double reed instrument, which would have come, it's, the origins would have been from the Middle East, if you go back far enough, or possibly even in the ancient world, Greece. And they took that instrument and brought it indoors and sort of civilized it, made everything smaller. And that created the oboe. So there's always this kind of a, some writing for the oboe is very quite delicate, and some of it is sort of loud. And you can hear that even in the Bach-Brandenburg Concerti. The first one pairs the three oboes with two horns, and as our brilliant conductor said, that the oboes, not too long before that was written, they were used by I forget which French king, but he used the big bands of oboes in warfare to frighten the enemy. And he said of the horns, he said that they were just feral. You see? So anyway, that was one way of using the oboe. And then at the same time, the oboe, they realized, is capable of very, very sensitive vocal. It was first prized for its imitation of the human voice. that they felt the oboe was the closest instrument to imitate the human voice.
Are you drawn to any particular repertoire or any particular way of playing?
Well, yes, I like to think that I am. There are many ways to play the oboe, and there's one basic skill that I think oboe players should have, no matter how brilliant, virtuosic they may be in other ways. One basic skill is just to have a beautiful tone, and that in itself is somewhat of an achievement on the oboe. So in addition to all the other things that maybe I try to do on the oboe, to be able to play in a very virtuosic way or with a colorful sort of temperament, just to have a beautiful tone is one of the things that actually is a kind of a daily challenge on the oboe. We all work to cultivate something nice, because once you achieve it, it's not necessarily there forever. If you pick it up the next day, you might have to kind of find it again. So that keeps us on our mettle.
And then does that depend on the instrument and the reed?
It does. It's the instrument and the reed, and of course your concept and your own sensitivity. Yes, but very much the reed, I have to say. Once you've achieved a certain level on the oboe, then the reed won't make the music for you, but it certainly does help.
How long does it take to make a reed?
Well, some people make them very quickly. I don't. So total we start with just tubes of bamboo. So if I were to take one tube of bamboo and split it and soak it and gouge it and shape it and scrape on it and everything, it would probably take me about 45 minutes, and then I would probably spend more time finishing it, probably another 20 minutes, half an hour to finish it after it had dried out. And the sad thing is that lifespan is often very short. Sometimes I only use a reed for one concert. That's it. So we're continuously having to make reeds, and we're continuously have looming over our heads the idea that maybe we don't have enough reeds for the future. But you live a little bit on the edge, but you get used to it, and you actually come to enjoy it.
The excitement?
Yeah, it is. It's, you're never bored. You may be, you know.
How many reeds do you have with you?
Well,
when you at any given time.
Really, you only need two good ones in case one breaks. However, we accumulate them. I'm not quite as much of a collector as some of us. So here I have 3, 6, 9, 12, 16 reeds. And maybe four of them are promising, and maybe four of them play pretty well. And the rest of them, it's a sort of sentimental. They used to be good. I might be able to get a few hours out of them here and there.
So do you use the same reed in rehearsal that you do in a concert?
Sometimes and sometimes not. Just depends. Okay. Depends on how I think that, whether the reed will hold up or not, and if I need something better, or if I save the good one for the concert, which I sometimes do.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.